Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 26. This is a long passage that is filled with important stories. Matthew chapter 26. And this is God's Word. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas. And they plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly way and kill him. "But not during the feast," they said, "or there may be a riot among the people." While Jesus was in Bethany in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" So they counted out for him 30 silver coins. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him, one after the other, "Surely not I, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "Yes, it is you." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. This very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He went away a second time and prayed. My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus replied, friend, do what you came for. Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him. For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way? At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, am I leading a rebellion that you've come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death, but they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, this fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, he has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need to any more witnesses? Look, now you've heard the blasphemy. What do you think? He is worthy of death, they answered. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, prophesy to us, Christ, who hit you? Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
There's a plot against Jesus. He has enemies. He has spoken very, very forcefully and publicly about the hypocrisy of the religious leaders. He has said that they're like a bunch of whitewashed tombs, looking pretty on the outside and full of death on the inside. His display of God's righteousness has shamed their petty rules and hypocrisy. And they want blood. They want him dead. So they gather together and they form a plot. And one of the things you see in this is that Jesus is the one person who step upon step upon step is in control. Notice what they said. We're going to kill him. We've got to kill him. That's exactly what Jesus had said they were going to do. In verse 2, he said, the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. Jesus knew what was coming. Jesus said what was coming. He had already several times told his disciples what was going to happen, that he would be handed over, that he would be killed, and that he would rise again on the third day. And so then it says in verse 3, the chief priests and elders of the people assembled, and they plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly way and kill him. But look at the timing. But not during the feast, or there may be a riot among the people. They didn't fear God, they feared people. And so they were determined not to do it during the feast. When is it going to happen? During the feast. Because they're not in charge. They think they're controlling things. They think they're plotting and planning and going to make it happen. But they want to control the timing too. And God already has his timing. It's going to happen during the feast because the feast was about Jesus. He is the Lamb, the Passover Lamb, that all those other Passover lambs pointed to. Jesus was going to die on a Roman cross. It had already been decreed by God before the creation of the world. And his plan is coming to fruition here. And the people who think they're in control are not. Over and over, Jesus says to them, this was that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And so Jesus is anointed at Bethany, verses 6 through 13. Beautiful story of this woman who does something extravagant for Jesus, displaying her love in an amazing way. And his own disciples, you check in the other Gospels, led by Judas, the treasurer, says, why this waste? It wasn't just Judas who says it. Mark faithfully records that the other disciples felt the same way and said the same thing. This is ridiculous. I mean, that was worth a fortune. It's not a waste. It's a beautiful thing. Jesus said, she's done a beautiful thing for me. And wherever the gospel is preached in all the world, this is going to be told. And he was right, just like he always is. So then, Judas is so upset by this. That's the last straw. Verse 14, then Judas, one of the 12, went to the chief priests and says, what are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? The Bible says in other gospels, he was filled with Satan. The enemy had taken control of his life, and he is thinking of what he can get out of doing a bad thing, a horrible thing, utter betrayal. Judas had looked at what the woman with the alabaster jar of perfume did and said, that's a waste. No, Judas was a waste. He had traveled with Jesus, he'd heard him teach, and now he wants to betray Jesus. That's a waste. And so then it describes the Lord's Supper and how, again, things were just as the Lord said. They go, and as they're celebrating the Lord's Supper, Jesus says, this is what's going to happen. One of you is going to betray me. All of you are going to forsake me. Jesus knows what is coming, and all of them say, no way. It's not going to happen. Surely not I, Lord. Judas says it too, and Jesus says, yes, it is you. Because Jesus knows what's going on. Jesus is still in control. He's not making people do bad things, but he is not the victim and the prisoner of what other people do. And Jesus gave thanks and broke the bread and gave it to the disciples saying, take and eat. This is my body. Again, the Passover was all about Jesus. And Jesus knew it. And the disciples hearing this still didn't get it. They didn't understand. It would only be later, after the fact, the Holy Spirit would open their minds and they would begin to understand the scriptures. Jesus would take them through the scriptures during the 40 days after the resurrection and instruct them and show them, and they'd be astounded that it is all exactly as God said. The Old Testament is about Jesus. It tells story after story about person after person and event after event, and all of it points to Jesus. And so then Jesus predicts Peter's denial. And notice what he says. This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written. Jesus knows what's going to happen because it's all been written ahead of time. And Jesus knows the scriptures because he is the living word. He says, it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. And Peter says, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. And look at verse 35. Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. But all of them are going to fall away, just as the scripture said. And so then they go out to Gethsemane. And these guys who pledged their lives, said, I'm willing to die for you, couldn't even stay awake for an hour. Their eyes were heavy. And so Jesus says to the three who were closest to him, can't you watch with me for 1 hour? I'm in anguish. And the answer is, sorry, too tired. So Judas comes forward with a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. The betrayer, verse 48, had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus replied, friend, do what you came for. Then the men stepped forward and seized Jesus and arrested him. And one of Jesus' companions, Peter, who's just waked up, grabs his sword and tries to attack, but he's a fisherman, not a soldier. And what he manages to do is cut off the ear of one of the servants of the high priest. We know from the other Gospels that Jesus not only told him to put away his sword, but Jesus healed that man's ear, put it back. And even then, the people did not back off. They were determined to do what they came for. And they take Jesus and they bring him before the high priest. Look at verse 57. Those who'd arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. Just so you know, under Jewish law, it was illegal for them to do a trial in the middle of the night. Verse 63, Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus breaks the silence with these words, yes, it is as you say. But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. The chief priest thinks, we've got him. But the fact of the matter is, God is working out his purpose. And what is happening right here is exactly what God had said was going to happen. So, they say, he's worthy of death, verse 66. And then they spit in his face and strike him with their fists. And others slapped him and said, prophesy to us, Christ. Who hit you? That should distress us. But it's just the start of what's going to happen. Jesus is going to be horribly tortured before he's killed. And Jesus had already told the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane when Peter was wanting to rescue him with his sword, he said, put away your sword. Don't you understand that I could call to my Father right now and he would send legions of angels to defend me? Jesus did not feel comfortable with what was going on. It was horrible suffering, and he had already prayed, Father, if there's any other way, please let this cup pass from me. But there was no other way. And Jesus said three times, not my will, but thine be done. Now, Jesus is about to be killed, and it's fulfillment of what God had said would happen. And so Peter, God bless Peter. What a mess. But Peter has at least tried to stay close. It's like, what can I do? I don't know what I can do, but I just can't run off like everybody else. He's followed along, and he's out in the courtyard warming himself by the fire. And somebody says to him, you know Jesus? He's like, I don't know him at all. And he's asked a second time and denies it again. And he's asked a third time. And he calls down curses on himself. Says, no way. I have never met him. I don't know anything about it. And in that moment, the rooster crows. And Peter remembers. And he went out and wept bitterly. Is there hope? Yes. Precisely because of what was happening to Jesus. Precisely because he's going to die on the cross. Precisely because this was the plan of God from before the creation. There is hope. He still is willing to forgive and to transform and to use your life for his glory.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.